You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne,
hey.
And Tom Marks.
Scoop.
We've got a great show.
Holden
for you
Scores
week.
Jr.
The deputy Holden Scores over there. Got a great show for you this week. We got to talk about all this Google Stadia news that
Do
was
we?
Just revealed this morning. We have to.
Okay.
We are, it's the law.
It is the scoop.
It is the scoop. We're going to flip through the June 2001 issue of Next Gen magazine.
Why Next Gen? Where did you get this?
Next Gen's the crap.
These are in the library too?
Yeah, we have a whole.
We have the coolest library.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
EGM was my magazine of choice back then, but Next Gen, so classy.
This is the one that's trying to be like serious.
Yeah.
Trying to treat games as art.
That was when I got more serious about this business. I started reading Next Gen more.
Mm-hmm. No, like hottest game babe roundups in Next Gen.
Nope.
So instead of but first, let's just talk about the magazine at this point.
Okay. But first,
you burnt. Okay.
There's this little show, this E3 show, mm-hmm. kicking off. I like how we've got a countdown on the site. It's like 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We are just.
It's true. And that's to our live show start, right? Which is mm-hmm. when? For you? Because you're doing it.
We are live this Sunday, noon Pacific, with our pre-show coverage for the Xbox conference, mm-hmm. which kicks off at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Then I'll be streaming your rehearsal just to be awkward.
Okay, so good.
You're on the live show
that's
at
That's on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's about the time I get to the war room, so I'll be sure to swing over to the
just
desk.
Come right by. Give me a high five. It's good.
It's an unusual setup at E3. I don't think you ever see behind the scenes there, but we have studios here, and they're nice and everything. But there, they set up like a TV studio. It feels different. There's crew that are in there that are not our coworkers, and it's very professional, and so you can't goof around as much.
Yeah,
and,
not like this podcast.
So it's especially funny, you know, if Justin did walk on set, you know, he would be tackled by a union worker.
Yeah, I don't know what would actually happen. I'm not positive.
In previous years, Zach Ryan would have tackled you.
Yeah.
This year, it's unclear.
The answer is nothing good.
Dan Parker's he's not going to tackle
no,
you.
No.
He's too nice a guy.
All I hear is I feel like you could do it. I feel like there's a window this year.
There would definitely be a consequence of some kind. I would not get away scot-free.
But it'll look really nice this year, and we're streaming almost all day for 6 days.
They didn't even let you. They yelled at me last year for walking on the wrong part of the floor on my way to go to the desk.
It's too creaky.
They don't want footprints on it.
That's right.
Matt Scarpino, you got to walk where he tells you it's okay to walk.
Yeah.
E3 is about to kick off, and I think there's a lot of excitement around the show this year, even though Sony is completely pulled out.
Are you allowed to talk about GameScoop real quick next week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was going to be part of it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Just
yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah. Great. GameScoop's going to be like the very last thing that we shoot on our live show, and that airs Thursday afternoon. So we'll be able to sort of wrap up everything for you. But yeah, I think like there's a lot of, you know, big games about to be announced. Big games.
And so many leaks.
There's been leaks, yeah. It, well, it's
like so many.
It's leak week.
It's totally
like,
leak
like,
week.
Like Dan Stapleton said. So I think, you know, we might as well kick off with Xbox because like on this Sunday, we're going to see the next Xbox console, right?
That's so debated even in the office.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't. It seems like they'd be squandering a huge advantage with Sony not there to just introduce their next-gen system right now. I think that's like seems like the smart thing to do, but I'm worried they're not going to do that.
I think they have step it. I think it's like, yep, you know, there's a new Xbox coming. You know, here's some details. We'll see you in a year.
You don't think
that's more than I think Tina thinks. She's like, they won't have anything.
Nothing. I think they'll confirm its existence and confirm that something, you know, some big game is coming to it, and then that's it.
You don't think they'll give us, like, the name?
I mean, I don't know.
Xbox 2.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
They really are.
Why?
We make fun of it so much on this show, but they really are in such a naming conundrum.
Oh, yeah. But like, they painted themselves into that corner. That is entirely their fault.
Mm-hmm. With the 360?
Well,
and then the One?
Yeah, they did the Xbox and then the 360. And the like, you can't change your naming format three generations in a row and then be like, how did we get here? What happened? Like, that's on you guys.
What about, like, you don't think we'll see the console?
I don't know.
Here it is.
Do you think the name would be the last thing they do? So they would maybe show specs and stuff like this here? And then, like, the branding's probably not even done yet?
I don't know.
I just hope the conference starts with them revealing the darn thing, and then that's all they talk about.
I don't think we get names and specs. I think we get either specs and no name, or we get the name and no
specs. It's funny how they do that, right?
Yeah.
It's always split up.
Well, it's so funny even just talking about this compared to what Sony has been doing, where now they have officially announced a new system that they're working on and shown demos for it, and there's no name and no specs and nothing, and they haven't even officially revealed it.
And the corporate espionage, you know, side of me says, like, well, they probably did that because they knew Xbox was going to go into E3, also with you know, all guns blazing, talking about their next console.
These consoles are always two-stepped because they have to. The same with Stadia. Like, yeah, it exists. You know, come back in a little bit and we'll tell you more, because they start getting it in the hands of third parties,
right?
And then you lose control of, like, companies are going to start making next Xbox games and PS5 games. And
then you see the big dev unit appear on eBay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they have no choice but to sort of confirm its existence and say, everybody hang with us a little bit longer.
Well, I don't know. I really hope we actually get some concrete information about what the next Xbox is.
And what games would matter on it.
Yes.
You know, like if Halo is going to be this game that like suddenly is the next gen like launch title, then like you have a cool Xbox launch to look forward to.
Yeah. Speaking of, they just showed like a revealed trailer of Halo Infinite last year. Do you think we'll see more of that?
Yes.
I don't know what else would make people more excited. I think that's like the thing.
I think, their big 1-2 punch is like Halo Infinite, Gears 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gears 5, I think, is sooner, and then Halo, in my mind, is probably a little bit later.
Well, I have a very hard time getting a sense of when Halo is even targeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, Halo Infinite could be a game where they say, and I don't think this is the case, but it almost could be a game where they're like, it's out in the fall, or they could be like, it's out in 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have a good bead on what that might actually be.
And we've been a little bit like misled in the past, like when they showed Halo 4 the first time, or
5.
No, I guess it was, when they had Master Chief in the desert, and it was like, well, that wasn't even in the final game. Like they teased it for the sake of teasing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
it's wearing a cloak over his armor.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just very hard to tell how they're going to roll out that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been working on it a long time, though, and that's a big team. But I feel like the stakes are also very high. Like, they not only need to get that game right for the sake of, you know, preserving this franchise and, you know, giving it a second chance at life, but it's, like, emblematic of, like, Xbox as a whole, right? Like, they need that big tentpole, like, to hang the success of their entire hardware line on in some ways.
Mm. Yeah.
And then Kinect will be interesting to see.
Kinect.
It's dead and gone.
They're just trying it again.
Kinect, yeah. Well, I don't know what they would call that. They're bringing it back again.
Kinect 1.
One big question is Xbox, and you know, deliberately by design, sort of sat out the VR race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
yeah, they had the HoloLens, but that never actually came out, I don't think.
It was available to buy, but it was very, very expensive and mostly for developers, I think. It never really became a consumer product.
All Xbox games are just PC games now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, why am I buying a box?
I have a gaming PC, so maybe I don't need the box.
Yeah. That's a problem that I don't know how they're going to solve at this point.
That is true. Like, you know, we've talked about this many times on the show. I don't want to like hate on Xbox, but I've moved completely to PS4 and Nintendo Switch for all my gaming. So it's like, what's the messaging going to be? Why would I want to buy an Xbox now?
But do we need to, like, your thing is like, why do people need to buy the box? It's like, well, just don't. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have Xbox Live Gold, and so they're going to get $50 a year out of you that way. And they have Xbox Game Pass. And like, it's just a different way of thinking about video games. It is fairly intriguing. Like, I don't really know if it's like the winning way or right way, but you know, it's definitely unique.
I can think of reasons that they'd make, you know, the box appealing. There's definitely, I mean, it might not be a box. It might be a Switch type thing. Mm. You know, it could be more device like, and I just don't know. I don't know what they want to do.
The idea of Microsoft going with a handheld Xbox instead of a full on thing is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd do that. But I mean,
things are getting smaller.
But if it's local streaming, that's true. If it's like a Steam Link sort of situation, like
I feel like Nintendo could do that because Nintendo is known for doing weird console stuff. But if Microsoft did that, I feel like a large part of their player base would feel betrayed.
Which happened with Kinect. That's the exact parallel.
I guess that's true.
They went with the Nintendo plan, and
yeah, that's true.
And they lost a bunch of people.
That's true, but the difference.
So I don't think they'll do it again.
You can unplug the Kinect, right? Like, you could still have a box if they just went with only a Kinect.
They designed the box to be weaker because. Because it had to handle the Kinect. What a weird rollout that was.
It was very odd.
Remember how things were running at like 720?
Yeah.
They fixed it in the end, but man, it took them a while.
If they reveal the next Xbox, it'll be flipped from this generation. If I'm right, it's like the PS4 was revealed first, right?
It's usually the company, and then the company that's coming from a position of weakness. They're the one that's in a hurry to kick off next gen, right?
Gotcha. Like, and that's why 360 went first.
No,
before PS3.
Oh, they
way back from OG Xbox to 360. Yeah, Sony moved first, and then the PS3 was behind the 360. So then Sony went first that time. They sort of switch positions.
Yeah,
but this is also an interesting thing of like, what if Sony waits a year or two longer than we think they're going to, and what if generations as we know them are just sort of dead because the Switch is technically. A generation past PS4 and Xbox One.
Except
the Wii U is their generation.
Technically.
Yeah, it's out of cycle, for sure.
I know. You're saying on a technical level.
In terms of like specs.
Yes. Not technically, but technically. So do you consider what generation is the Switch? Is the Switch part of the next gen? Is it this old gen? Is if Xbox releases something next year and then PlayStation waits 2 years? Like, is then Nintendo going to have a new Switch by the time that it's all very muddled now, and I think it's only going to get muddier.
So they'll have Gears 5, probably have Halo Infinite, but we know they have 14 first party games coming. I think we should,
and we know things like Tunic and Ori.
Tunic was there last year,
right?
I don't think we've seen it since then.
Yeah, exactly. And there's
is
like
Tunic
there's
first party. I thought Tunic was Fingy.
I guess, yeah, if you're talking about first-party games, then no.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not one of their first-party, but it was part of their conference last year.
Yeah.
When they bought all those developers last year, they just rattled off, you know. And
there's new first parties, that's right.
Some of that may bear fruit next year, but that's, the bulk of that's probably years away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except that they own Ninja Theory, Hellblade.
Yeah.
And they've said that they aren't as interested in doing big AAA games. They want to do smaller stuff that they can ship more quickly. So maybe they have something from Ninja Theory.
Hellblade's been well over a year, so they may have at least an announcement of their next project.
Yeah, probably.
I think it'd be an awesome power play of Microsoft to say, hey, all those studios that we bought last year that we told you about, here's what every single one of them is working on.
Yeah,
not necessarily they're all coming very soon, just like, here's everything that we invested in.
You know, I agree with you. I feel like breaking the cycle of secrecy around game development would be really exciting.
Yeah.
And I think like for us, like covering more of games pre-release is very enticing. And the fact that like there are so many secrets about games, like I don't know how good that is for the industry right now.
Yeah.
I would love to see what everybody's working on.
The announcement of something's existence, you know, it's like, look, I don't need to know any details or like, you know, keep your secrets, but just say like, yeah, we're making another, you know, whatever, Dragon's Age. Like,
yeah, or what's Warner Brothers Rocksteady Studio working on? Like, they won't say, They said they're not going to be at E3. That's the only thing they're saying.
Again.
Like, is it really that hard to say, like, we're working on another Batman game. It's going to be cool.
The Dragon Age announcement was so funny, too, as a specific example, because...
Well, they did do what we're discussing as being, like, a good thing for the industry. Like, we're not going to talk about it for years, but we are making another Dragon Age.
Yeah. Right, and I appreciate that. But also, in the Game Awards, when they announced it, there was a BioWare rep on stage earlier in the show where they were like, what about Dragon Age? Are we going to see something from that? And they were like, well, we might have something to tell you about later. And like, they didn't even, they couldn't even, in a show where they were announcing it, talk about it. It was just so funny to me.
Yeah. They'd announce the existence of a Dragon Age project earlier than E3, BioWare, like sizzle reel.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing is that usually there's this arms race between Microsoft and Sony to see which big third-party games they can get on their stage. Without Sony this year, I'm sure every big third-party game wants to be on the Microsoft stage.
So. We still don't know, like, every published platform for Final Fantasy VII. Like, that would be so mind-blowing if that appeared on the Microsoft stage.
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. Although Square Enix has their own conference.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a Square show. But we see that overlap happen.
We do see that happen. Last year, Kingdom Hearts 3 was on
Microsoft. I'd be surprised if Ubisoft's games were not appearing on the Microsoft show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
because those are big.
There's Ghost Recon, Breakpoint, Watch Dogs leaked and then was confirmed. So
yeah,
this arms race of like first party studio acquisition. You know, it's like PlayStation Studios, man, is like such a ridiculously powerful asset in like the back pocket of Sony Computer Entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not called that anymore, but. I wasn't even like that wild about like Last Guardian, but like they're making big AAA artsy games, smaller, more like boundary pushing games and everything in between. And, you know, Microsoft, I have such respect for them for like recognizing like, oh, we've been left behind here a little bit.
And their internal development is just a weak link for them.
And they, I can't imagine the cost to like pony up to buy hey, we just bought six, big companies. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeesh, but man, they did it and it's going to keep them competitive.
They bought Minecraft. When they picked up Rare, I was expecting probably exciting things. And like, there's already like these internal companies, which I wish in the 15 years of Xbox, it had like a single hit, and they just man.
Speaking of, are we going to see Battletoads? Because it was announced last year.
Let's reframe that. Do you want to see Battletoads?
Right. I want to see what Battletoads looks like in 2019.
I mean,
I might not want to play it.
Nothing good.
But I want to see it.
Okay.
I don't think they'll ever say the word Battletoads on the Microsoft stage again.
Yeah. They did last year.
I know.
Like what?
And they went, oh no. And they'll
what about a Battletoadvania? So,
that could work.
You have a whip, and then there's extensive map system.
It doesn't have to be a whip. They'll do the. What about a battle?
Well, to be a Battletoadvania, it would have to be.
What about a Vikings like a lost?
If you want to do a Metrode, then you wouldn't have to have a whip.
Battletoad Royale writes itself, doesn't it? Too
Sam, will you accept a long tongue as a whip?
Yeah. Ooh. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, I'm back to Battletoadvania.
Toadvania.
Toadvania.
But wait, that's shortening the end of both words.
I love it.
Castle
Toad. I love it. Well, you can't just say Battlevania. That could be anything.
Castle Toad.
Castle Battle.
Castle Toad.
I think we'll see
Metroid.
Probably.
In order for them to have 14 games, three of them, are going to be like really big splashy stuff, and then the other 11 are going to be like, not that Ori's not great, but, be games like Ori and Battletoads.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that Ori existed until like a week ago, and then when I remembered it was going to probably get like a date or something at this show, I had a momentary like panic attack where I was so excited.
I agree, actually, because last year after the showcase I went and played Tunic. I was really excited to play that, and then played Kingdom Hearts and some other stuff, and then I was like, I don't really care about Ori because I didn't like the first game. It was okay. And then I went to go play the second one. It was so much better. It has like really good motion and like kind of grappling hook stuff. And I was like, this really works. I still don't like the style too much in that game.
Really?
But I agree that it has style.
Mm.
I just don't
not,
like
not it. For you.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I like that it has style.
All right. We spent a lot of time on Microsoft. We got to move ahead a little bit.
That's all there is.
That's a good point.
After Microsoft, later that evening on Sunday, is the Bethesda conference. Mm-hmm. I think that's at 6 p.m. Pacific.
That's the conference where I don't know what's going to happen.
This is an interesting one.
Huge like, surprises every year.
But they got that Wolfenstein. Ones. Like, I think they
always have games we know about. And then they're just like, oh, and there's a Fallout this fall. Oh, and then, they're just like so good at that kind of thing.
Well, so we know they've got Wolfenstein has a date in July, and Doom Eternal might have a date.
Yeah.
It's coming in this fall. But the interesting thing about Bethesda is like they really need a win. Like they need to like turn the narrative about them around. It's been nothing but bad news about them since last E3.
You got Elder Scrolls Blades, and you got one, you got Fallout 76.
Fallout 76 was a disaster. We gave Elder Scrolls Blades, what, like a 5.4?
Mm-hmm. And then Rage 2 was cool.
Rage 2 was cool, but
it did make a big splash.
We gave, you know, we gave it a pretty high score, but it got mixed reviews across the board, and I don't really hear a lot of people talking about it.
And I don't really associate that with Bethesda as much as obviously Doom and Fallout and Skyrim.
Yeah.
The big question mark is, do we get anything? Like, you know, we know we're going to see a lot of Doom, and we know we're going to see a lot of Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're probably going to get Elder Scrolls Online.
Except that latest expansion is already out.
Yeah, but they'll some new raid or something.
They'll talk a little
MMO
bit about
garbage.
That.
Like, and then we know we'll get what was I going to say? Oh, like Fallout 76 DLC. Like they're going to talk.
Yeah, they'll talk about the roadmap. So they'll talk about fixing it.
Yeah, they'll talk about the same thing with Rage 2 because the live events and post-launch content was supposed to be a thing for that game.
So for me, the two big questions are: do we get anything at all about Starfield? And I think the answer is no.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, I think.
And we heard that in our interview, it said Starfield before.
Yeah.
Anything else before Skyrim?
And that's what they.
Or, I mean, sorry, I keep on saying that, but I mean Elder Scrolls.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be crazy surprised if that plan has changed since Bethesda really does need
a
win.
Yeah,
but that's what they've been. That they're sticking to now that Starfield's coming first, and then.
So you think a big Starfield presentation?
Maybe I don't know.
That would be at least exciting.
So. I think it's too early, but
I think most is cinematic trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, and then the other big question is whether we're going to see anything from Arkane.
Oh,
so yeah, right. Arkane helped out with one of the. I think they helped out with Wolfenstein or Doom. Arkane has two studios now.
Right.
Oh, it's Wolfenstein because Wolfenstein is more open-ended and non-linear.
Like Dishonored,
a little bit more Dishonored. Yeah.
So like you know Dishonored, Prey, you know like these amazing experiences. And I don't know whether it's too early for them to talk about what they're doing next either.
I think it might be because in my mind, Prey didn't. Do very well for them, right?
Yep.
I think Prey was a fantastic game. I really, really liked it, but
not a commercial success.
Not a big success for them. And at least when I talked to people from Arkane back at QuakeCon, I think it was last year, they kind of made it sound like Dishonored was on the back burner for a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like that they're were not, very explicit about that.
Yeah, they're not gonna be.
And do they have Thief anymore?
Thief. Oh, I don't know where that license is.
That was like Eidos.
Yeah.
I know Dishonored was like a spiritual successor. Yes. But anyway, they make that type of game though.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, honestly, Arkane is just not at the show. Mm-hmm. I hope they are. I really hope they are. And they could be, but...
They have a little bit of soul searching to do where like Dishonored 1 was like this big splash and big success. And then 2 and the Sandalone 2 DLC were really, really beloved.
So
but,
cool.
But not, you know, massive successes. And then Prey, also not a massive success. And so it's like all these games, they're kind of doing everything right from like a game design standpoint, but they're having trouble connecting.
What they need to do is take that Dishonored universe and just make a game about hunting whales.
Dude.
Ships.
Yeah.
Or make
it. I know it's evil.
But it's a video game.
It's a video game.
Or take, you know, like give Arkane, you know, Half-Life or like something insane like that. Like, you know, like give
them board.
Like let them play around in a universe that like already exists.
Yeah.
Last year, this is a smaller thing that only a few of us care about. But last year they said Elder Scrolls Legends was coming to consoles, and it never did.
Right, and that had a whole problem because they switched developers and they switched, they rebuilt their launcher entirely from the ground up, and it had a ton of problems, and they had to sort of backpedal on a lot of their plans and fix a lot of stuff, which they did. They just, like, broke their game.
This is a card game, I presume?
This is a card game.
To think about that having, it's just hard. It's weird to think about having technical difficulties.
It was developed by a third party. They'd partnered with this company, Direwolf Digital, that I know and love a lot.
Yeah.
And then
they make another good card game.
Yeah.
They do.
And I think that was I don't know this on the record, but like I've always sort of assumed that this company that they're paying to make their card game is making their own card game. And it's like, is there a conflict
it's
there?
It's kind of like Gearbox making Aliens.
I talked to Pete Hines about that also at QuakeCon, and he maintained that was not part of it.
Sure.
I think the story that he kind of more put forward, and whether this is marketing or not, who knows, but was basically that like they just weren't – Direwolf wasn't able to make quick enough for them, and they needed something where they could move a little faster, develop a little quicker, and Sparky Pants, which is the one they went to, I think – was a little bigger, had a little more, wasn't working on much other stuff, and that was the given reason at least. But yeah, it is very weird to just be making a competitor to your own game.
Mm-hmm. all right, Ubisoft is 1 p.m. Pacific on Monday, and that one's a little bit less exciting to me this year, although I generally think Ubisoft is one of the strongest publishers we have today. Ghost Recon has already been announced. Watch Dogs Legion has already leaked and then confirmed. And I don't really know about that.
We also read a rumor about a roller derby game.
Yeah.
It's apparently a roller derby game, which, sure.
Whatever. If that's real and whatever that is, I want to see it. Like, I don't know if it'll be crazy good or anything. I just am so interested what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, at one point in my life, like, every woman friend I had was in a roller derby, so definitely want to see what it's like. It'd be cool.
I would be much more excited about a new Assassin's Creed or a Splinter Cell, but
I think we are going to see Assassin's Creed.
You think we will?
Well, interesting,
I know it's not coming out this year, but
we've heard like very strong, very credible rumors. They're at odds with each other. Like at one point, it was almost a lock. Like, oh, they're making an ancient Rome game to complete their trilogy. Like they did ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, and ancient Rome. Where, in timeline wise, it's, you know, thousands of years before most of the Assassin's Creed games are. But then we heard an equally compelling rumor that no, it's like Vikings, you know, and that's what the theme's going to be. Yeah. And so, I don't really know what to make of that.
Both?
I don't know. yeah, it's possible. You know, one's going to come before the other. Their plans have changed, or
it's ancient Vikings going into animus machines back to ancient Rome.
Well, I think Vikings and Rome could they overlap?
See, I don't know my history well enough to like.
We probably shouldn't get into. Yeah, we're not going to make ourselves.
Well, yeah,
but Assassin's Creed Odyssey remains one of this generation's biggest surprises. It's got to be. If I were to rank it out, it's one of my top three or five games from this entire gen, which I absolutely didn't expect it
probably,
to be.
I probably agree with you.
And so I cannot wait to see what they're cooking up next. They've really turned things around on that franchise, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe they would at least tease what the next Assassin's Creed is going to be,
and maybe Watch Dogs will be a turnaround too. I know a lot of people like that game, but I thought it was always dull.
I didn't make the connection till just now in this chair that Watch Dogs Legion, the rumor for Assassin's Creed was it was Assassin's Creed Legion.
Oh, that's the name of it? Because Rome?
Yeah, that was the ancient Rome.
So maybe there was a code word that somebody leaked that was Legion.
So, man, rumors are so funny. So maybe the rumor was, hey, you know, Ubisoft's working on codename Legion, and then wires got crossed.
Yeah.
That could be.
That's great.
I will agree with you, Sam. I was never really interested in the Watch Dogs games. I think they're totally competent and okay, right?
Yeah.
The rumors that are coming out about this one are like from the leak, that Amazon leak about like NPCs, and like it just sounds really cool. Like it is the only thing that has actually gotten me interested in Watch Dogs in that series history so far. So I just want to know what the heck it is also.
Yeah. I wanted to like two so bad because it's in San Francisco. Like finally I can run around my own backyard, but I couldn't connect with it.
That was really amazing. That part of it was so – I played with that open world a lot. I remember it was like over a holiday and my family was in town. I kept on showing them like places that we just went in San Francisco in the game. It was so cool. Like it feels good.
Yeah. I really liked the first one a lot more than a lot of people did. But then like Justin was saying, the second one didn't really connect with me. So I don't know like what this franchise
is. Is that
set
in Chicago?
Yeah, the first one was in Chicago.
You're a Chicago boy.
Hood, to be fair.
Yeah.
It is my hood, to be fair. And then later on after Ubisoft, 6 p.m. Pacific on Monday, is the Square Enix conference, which they took the sweet spot from Sony, that Sony left vacant. Of course, they're going to have Avengers and Final Fantasy VII. So.
Those are the big ones.
Those are big games.
Yeah, those are huge games.
Square could steal the show this year for me.
I mean, if they do right by Avengers, which I like Crystal Dynamics a lot, I just don't like the idea of a Destiny-like Avengers.
Right.
So, I think the games themselves, both those games have a strong, they're a strong opportunity to be game of the show and be amazing and some of the best games this year. I think the conference itself, it's like I love seeing companies put on a big E3 press conference for the first time because they're always so janky and like I'm a little bit worried about their ability to like execute on like a flashy show. I'm mainly thinking about like the Konami conferences every year that were just such boondoggles and like so painful to watch. So
yeah, they're the only company that's going to be presenting that has a lot of Japanese development and a lot of U.S. development. That's really cool. Yeah. Well, or non-Japanese development.
I'm not worried about either of those games.
I think that's really neat.
I hope the conference goes smooth. I kind of hope it doesn't.
Is it actually a live conference in front of an audience, not like a pre-taped thing?
I guess I don't know. Maybe I'm making.
Typically, they do a pre-taped thing.
Maybe you're right.
Would they have
like a semi Nintendo Direct-ish?
Yeah. Would they have Tomb Raider stuff if Tomb Raider existed?
If there was anything new, maybe there's DLC for Shadow of the Tomb Raider still coming. I don't know.
What are they? Seems like that trilogy is complete now.
Yeah,
right? I don't know.
Yeah, but they're gonna keep making it, right?
But it's curious. Like they can't. Like would it be like the fourth reboot? Like they're just in a weird spot with Tomb Raider now.
I agree 100% with something Pear tweeted not too long ago that he said, "I just want a Tomb Raider where you're not saving the world, you're just raiding tombs. Like, I don't need Lara Croft to be a superhero." Good. Like, scale it back a little bit.
Yeah, I love that idea.
I know they don't do Hitman anymore, but yeah. It would be really cool to have a kind of living game of a Tomb Raider like that, where just every couple months they add a new sort of dungeon for you to explore.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, would play.
Yeah,
And then of course Nintendo is first thing Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific. I like Zelda Link's Awakening, the remake. I think that looks really cool. And
Fire Emblem looks fantastic. Cool.
We'll get to see some more Animal Crossing. That's not my kind of game, but I know a lot of people love it.
Cadence of Hyrule is probably going to be a surprise. It's out now.
Yeah. We thought that was going to be out already, didn't we?
Well, they confirmed June.
Okay.
There was a rumor based off of the code of a website store page that it was going to come out on May 30th, and then it did not. And then May 31st, we got a trailer in Japanese that said June. And I can't imagine if they're saying June, but without a release date, they're not just going to release it.
So that's based off, that's the indie developer that did Crypt of the Necrodancer, which is rhythm music-based roguelike where you have to sort of tap your way through this dungeon and theme with the music, which I love that game, but it is so unforgiving and so hard.
So hard.
That I just can't, to the point where I'm it's too stressful for me to play it. And so I think a friendlier, more player-friendly take on that with Zelda music and Zelda. I mean, maybe it's not going to be friendlier. Maybe it's still going to be balls hard. But I'm just assuming
there are already some things in the trailer that they put out with the date or the June date, June month, that makes me think it's going to be a little bit more accessible, easier.
I mean, it makes it bright and colorful and Nintendo themed, and
the areas are also bigger. Crypt of the Necrodancer was very
backed into corners all the time.
Very cornered. And then also there are these things in that trailer that look like little Sheikah jukeboxes.
Yeah.
And kind of scattered around different levels. I'm hoping to God that those are checkpoints.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So that if you die, you just respawn and it's not complete permadeath if you don't want it.
Why was Brian so down on the game?
I think he's just, he likes Zelda. He wants...
Doesn't like music.
Yeah. I think he wanted a mainline Zelda game, mostly. I don't think it's anything more than that. He didn't like Crypt of the Necrodancer very much. Yeah. So the idea that you're making a procedural roguelike Zelda game and it's a rhythm game is just not his jam.
I think a slightly more relaxed take on that game formula will really allow it to shine. And I think it has potential to be something really special. We'll see if they deliver.
The Switch is the only system right now that is good for rhythm, the best for rhythm. Because you can connect the controllers to the screen and have no lag at all.
Yep.
Mm. And I know a lot of systems can accomplish no lag, but we're in a weird time for lag. Where a lot of people, I go to people's houses and I play their setups. I'm like, you need to turn on game mode. You're you have noticeable lag and they're used to it.
Yeah.
They've adjusted to it.
Yeah. Oh man, it drives me crazy.
And of course, as part of the Pets initiative, this is rumored that Witcher 3 will be announced for Switch.
Pets has put everything on Switch.
Port everything to Switch.
What's the difference?
Because one would be PIOS.
Okay.
The PIOS initiative.
Here's my crazy prediction is if they do that, then I think we get Geralt in Smash.
Yeah, sure. They pat him in.
That's such a funny.
I want that to be a simultaneous reveal of it's coming to the Switch and also.
So which order should they do things in? Should they do Witcher 3 port coming and then Smash after?
I want them to do that.
Just one more thing. Because the Witcher 3 port. I'm here to brawl. That's really good.
I'm playing the heck out of Resident Evil 4 on Switch right now. Mm. And it looks really good in parts. In some parts, it's having trouble running it. And that's Resident Evil 4. Yeah. I don't think The Witcher 3 is coming to Switch.
You don't think
I want it so bad. But I think Gwent's coming to Switch.
Geralt in Smash and Leon Kennedy in Smash would be very good.
That roundhouse kick from Leon?
Yeah. Oof.
Leon, it's crazy to me too because Leon is actually now not out of the question to me. Yeah. If you said Leon 6 months ago, I'd be Leon Kennedy? Never put him in Smash.
That's the rumor?
Huh?
No, that's not a rumor at all. I just blurted it out just now.
Oh. It's just that they're adding such weird characters and multiple characters in Smash now have just guns, right? Leon just true. Having guns wouldn't be out
Plus
of place
Plus Leon
anymore.
Does a roundhouse kick,
yeah.
a body slam,
yeah.
mm-hmm. a pile driver.
Yeah. He would have to call in a zombie.
Yeah, right. Joker being the first of the five, his connection to the Switch and to Nintendo is so tenuous. Persona 5 is not on Switch, so that opens the door to all this weird stuff actually being plausible. I think, we live in a world where it could be Geralt, Leon Kennedy, and Banjo.
yeah,
that'd be great. We should also mention that Slay the Spire is out on Switch today.
Yay!
Slay the Spire is amazing. One of my favorite games of the year.
It's a very, very good game.
Sam, you won't like it.
You glossed over Animal Crossing, by the way.
I did, yeah. It's not really my thing.
But it's so perfect for the Switch, and I'm so, like, man, I'm so ready. Like, they let the franchise sit just long enough to, like, whet everybody's appetite. I think it's going to be amazing.
I want to see gameplay. If they don't show gameplay and they're like, it's coming out end of the year and we'll show something in a direct later, I'm going to be pretty sad.
I want to see big differences. We've talked about this on MVC.
Yeah.
So we have Pokemon confirmed for November something.
Yeah.
Right?
Or 15th, 16th, something like that.
And so it's like to me, Animal Crossing is probably going to be earlier. Like, it's probably going to be like September and then Pokemon at the end of the year.
I hope so.
Summer game. Maybe, Summer's the best season for Animal Crossing playing. That's when all the bugs are out.
Yeah, see, the weird thing is, even, as much as I love those games, I have a hard time sticking with them for like a full year. And so I've experienced like...
I only did it once, and I did it with the last one. I did the full year, E3 to E3.
Right? I've done like fall, winter, and spring in like every Animal Crossing game. And then by summer, like, I don't know how much summer I've ever played in Animal Crossing.
Summer's so good. Oh my gosh, the dragonflies, the beetles.
You do get all the... I did go to Tortimer Island and get all the beetles. Yeah, the beetles, but you can do that all year round.
Yeah.
And finally, I think we ran a poll on IGN, and Cyberpunk is still our reader's most anticipated game of the show.
Yep.
Even though
followed by Final Fantasy VII.
We got a nice, really long look at it last year. Like, are we going to get a release date for Cyberpunk, or is it just here's another slice of gameplay?
I think that Cyberpunk is actually going to probably have a pretty boring show. Mm. They've said that it's going to be like their most important show ever or whatever, but they've also just said that they're just showing hands off like a big chunk of gameplay and that's it. And if it's just what they did last year, I know it's going to be entirely new gameplay or whatever, but if it's just some similar format to what they did last year, it might just leave me like, okay. Yeah.
The way they described their presentation was pretty similar to last year, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see another big vertical slice of the game. But maybe it'll have like flying cars and stuff. Like, you don't know.
I don't know. No, and I don't know. I'm lowering my expectations so I don't get disappointed.
Dude, that game though.
I mean, yeah. Like, I'm already on board with that game, so I kind of just want to know when I can play it.
Yeah,
I don't need to see another slice of gameplay. I'm already on board.
I think that game's February, March.
That'd really? Be cool. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah. Hmm.
They said that Beyond Good and Evil would not be at the show, which is disappointing.
Ubisoft already said that. I think they held something yesterday.
Yeah.
That had very little information.
Yeah. I think that and Rock City saying that they won't have anything at the show are like two like big categories of surprise that I'm disappointed that.
That's this funny genre of E3 lead up, like, you know, companies just like getting the disappointing stuff.
I mean, Sony is one of them
first, like. Yeah, just saying we're not going to be there. But even like, you know, Rocksteady or like Ubisoft sort of recognizing you have the presence of mind to be like, look, this, and this, we're not talking about this year. Mm-hmm. And get your grumbles out now.
Skull and Bones is another one that Ubisoft does not bring to E3.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if that game never comes out. I said that a year ago that I wouldn't be surprised if it never came out.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
After seeing Sea of Thieves like do a bunch of cool stuff and this might not, you know, be any cooler.
I don't know. I just like they've tried it so many times with For Honor and Rainbow Six Siege, and they're always these competitive games that they make are always like such slow starters. And then to their credit,
those are the two of the biggest games.
That I was gonna say. Play.
Well, I know,
those
but
are
to,
bad
to,
examples
to Ubisoft,
of things they shouldn't do.
To Ubisoft's credit, they always do stick with those multiplayer games and make them really, really big and important. But like, I don't know if they will, like, if they couldn't get it working to a point where they were like, we can make this even better later, then they might have just cut their losses, you know?
Make it a pirate adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make, an Assassin's Creed 4 spinoff. all right, anyway, IGN's live coverage of E3 kicks off at noon Pacific. On Sunday, we'll be live streaming all of these big conferences with pre- and post-show coverage. Then throughout the week, we'll be having live game demos of all the biggest games of E3. So please be excited. You ever play Spanky's Quest?
Spanky's Quest.
Do you know that one?
No.
It's on Game Boy.
Oh, cool.
All right.
I like that Game Boy instrumentation on that, where that kind of echoiness.
It sounds a little bit different than the NES. All right. So this morning, Google unveiled some information about Stadia, a window of when it'll be launched, which is this November. And if you want in on it this year, it's going to cost you $130 for the Founders Edition, which includes the controller, 3 months of Stadia Pro membership, which is typically $10, Chromecast, and then you can also gift a friend 3 months of a Pro subscription too. So, man, I don't know.
And that's the only way to play it at
this
launch,
year.
Right?
At launch, like, yeah. Next year, there's going to be a Stadia Base plan that you that's free as far as I understand.
Play it in your web browser, play it with your keyboard and
but
mouse,
you can only like, play up to 1080p, not 4K.
Yeah, but so the promise of like Stadia as like, you know, like when they unveiled it, it's like you're seeing a trailer for a game on YouTube and you hit the button and then you're playing that game. That future is not what we're getting at launch. We're getting like almost, I don't know what you would call it, like a beta or a soft launch where like, you know, you have to buy what's the equivalent almost of like a low-end game console.
Yeah, and it's definitely cheaper than buying a new game console, but it's like those people, everyone who already owns a console can play virtually almost all of the games that are announced for the lineup already. So like how big is the market of people who want to play AAA console games but don't already own a console?
It doesn't that's, exist. I mean,
isn't that the market for this?
I don't think anyone's going to buy this launch edition, in my judgment.
It's definitely the enthusiast sort of thing, right? Because if you...
But what enthusiast?
Well, what I mean, like, it's the people who want to get in on the ground floor for whatever reason. But if you already own a Google Chromecast, right? Yeah. And you already own a controller that can connect to it.
Yep.
And then you can just wait for the free edition and you'll literally lose nothing except for 4K and some not getting it immediately.
Yeah. And that the person that doesn't need it immediately, like they're probably happy playing in 1080p.
Yeah. You know? That's like, I'm pretty pleased with the price points that they've put out for this thing.
I think it's fair.
$10 a month for the pro version is really not that bad.
No, I agree.
And $0 for 1080p 60 is like, that's enough for 99% of people, I feel like.
Just the timing's also a little awkward since we're at the end of a console cycle.
You still have to buy the games.
You still have to buy the games within Stadia.
It's not $0.
With your Stadia Pro subscription, you get like a regular cadence of free games like PlayStation Plus, like a couple a month. But you're right. Everything else, I think you're just going to have to buy full price.
Dude, so I think you can get an Xbox One X like pretty cheap now. I think this, what was it called, the Founders Edition?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Founders Edition is a non-starter. Like, I understand that, you know, there's tech in the controller. Like, I completely get it. But when that thing's $140, like, and you can get an Xbox One for like sub $200, it doesn't make any
sense. But Justin, did you see the wasabi color?
One of the controllers is wasabi color.
Mm, and just black.
It's real cute.
Just black, clearly white. Yeah.
And blue. There's a blue for the pre-order.
I continue to believe that like Stadia Tech is really interesting, and it's an interesting value proposition where whatever screen I'm on, I can just start playing a next-gen game. But again, that's not what we're getting right now at launch.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can buy a $60 game and have that game forever, trade it back into GameStop or wherever, or on Stadia, you can pay $60 for the privilege of streaming a game over your internet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense, man.
It also feels a little bit like... like you said, like a beta test almost, where selling it in this Founders Pack guarantees to Google that 90% of the people that are playing it are going to be doing so on a very specific set of hardware that Google can then troubleshoot for.
That's a great point. They can sort of control, not the narrative somewhat, but they have more control over, like, man, when you can play on any screen, on any device, like, what an engineering nightmare versus like, no. It's on this set of devices at launch and we can really optimize for that.
And then they go wider from there.
Yeah.
So you guys already know my opinion how this thing's never going to work, but or at least for most of the earth. One thing that I wanted to bring up though is that we just spent a lot of time talking about all the things we were excited about at E3 and every single one was a game. There's no games on the system that I'm excited for because they're all on other systems I already have. And I don't know what they expect, why they expect me to switch over and play it to this. Like, even if it works at 4K or whatever, I don't care. Like, I already have that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
It's not an upgrade to, like, a great new PC or something. It's just a lateral move for no reason.
The launch lineup is fine. It's like it's a lot of the big games that are coming this year. It's just they're not – you can play them elsewhere.
Like I absolutely want to play them on my Xbox One X. Like there's no question in my mind.
If you're a game developer or a publisher, there's no reason not to make your game Stadia enabled. Mm-hmm. It's like, sure, why not?
And I bet Google's doing so much of the lifting for that. They're probably just like, please give us the ability, the permission to do this. And then they somehow – what do they even do? Like dedicate a bunch of servers to making the gameplay?
I will pay.
It's confusing, right?
Assuming I'll test it out in my own home and see if my internet connection can handle it. And assuming that it can, like, I'll pay $10 a month for this service and then, dip my toes into all kinds of games without having to pay $60 for it. Like, that completely makes sense to me. I will not pay $140 up front.
30.
Yeah.
Whatever. What's the distance?
Sure.
$10.
All right. Google Stadia coming this November. You have to pay $130 if you want in at launch.
good drums.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what game that's from.
You gotta, all we know is it's called 17 Area Clear.
Yeah, it's Area Clear. Okay, the June 2001 issue of Next Gen on the cover is GameCube's Rogue Leader, Rogue Squadron 2.
You remember we were just talking about that yesterday?
What, about this game?
Rogue Squadron?
Oh, somebody, were we just somebody... Not me, not me. Oh, but I do love this game.
Yeah.
I think our exclusive 10-page report will blow you away.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What a game.
Yeah,
what I a played game. It, I put it in my Wii to play the GameCube version, not even within the last year, and it looks amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, it, was the first, it looks so good.
Was the first Rogue?
Onimusha?
I just really love that the back is an ad for Onimusha Warlords, which also came out this year.
Yeah.
Oh, like the remaster?
Yeah, the remake or whatever came out on Switch and that.
Was
yeah.
it a Rogue Squadron that had secret episode 1 DLC in it for like a year?
Yeah, and then then you could see it eventually. Once they released
don't
the code.
Remember
so
that.
Rogue Squadron came out like I think you know like a year a long long time before episode one, and then when episode one dropped they're like, hey, put in this 12 button code on your controller and you can play as the Naboo Starfighter. And
that would have had to be Rogue Squadron 1 because two
yeah it was just secret in the game.
Yeah,
I never heard about that. Yeah. That rules.
Yeah.
So the first ad in here is for a game I don't remember. Star Wars Starfighter.
Starfighter.
Not Jedi it's like a, Starfighter.
It's just Star Wars Starfighter.
Is it on PlayStation 2?
PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that at somebody's house.
IGN gave it a 9.
Wow.
So IGN liked it.
But yeah, so that game looked good and everything, but it was a lot of the episode 1 stuff, and that wasn't as exciting as Rogue. Look how good Rogue Squad. Look at that image.
I know. Yeah, it looks good. It looks very good.
Man.
In the,
can you play as a B-Wing?
In the letter from the editor, Tom Russo here, he says, well, we did it again. This time we brought you the world's first look at GameCube software. It's a very impressive game at that. Our 10-page Rogue Squadron 2 story begins on page 56. So the GameCube threat is real. Very real.
Whoa.
And finally, at the May That's E3 funny. Trade show, all of this year's software should be revealed. GameCube's secret first-party launch games, Naughty Dog's first PS2 game, as well as some other Sony surprises. We're hoping Microsoft will reveal something for Xbox on par with Metal Gear Solid 2 or Rogue Leader, because at this point the software is competent, but nothing we've seen thus far makes us need an Xbox.
All right, I missed everything after May for E3.
Yeah, that's
we could be past E3 right now.
Yeah. E3 used to be May. Yeah, the first one, first few I went to were in May.
The first E3
so
I worked.
So let's see.
That's really funny.
This is mid-2001, which means the GameCube and Xbox launches were imminent.
Yeah,
fall, a couple months away.
And PlayStation 2 was already out?
PlayStation 2 was already out.
And had Metal Gear Solid 2.
And then Xbox and GameCube were a few months away.
Or so, that was like the big game.
So clearly they weren't up on Halo yet, or people hadn't quite caught on that like that game was the business.
Well, they have a report from the Spring Tokyo Game Show, which isn't a thing that they do anymore. Now there's just one Tokyo Game Show in the fall.
Is that William Gates?
Yeah, and because they're about to launch the Xbox.
Oh.
So listen to this. The video game, this is a quote from Bill Gates. The video game business is a worldwide business, explained Bill Gates during his keynote speech at the 2001 Spring Tokyo Game Show.
Whoa.
But one key thing I want to make clear today is that we see Japan as the center of this business. These sentences spoke volumes to the assembled crowd of thousands of Japanese and foreign journalists and game industry professionals assembled in the auditorium at Makuhara Messe. So like Bill Gates was speaking at the Tokyo Game Show trying to get them on board with Xbox.
And that was the start of Japan's incredible love for the Xbox series of systems.
Well, yeah, sarcasm. Two decades of poor sales.
Like, what's this picture of Bill Gates holding a hamburger and an Xbox controller?
What?
Like, what's that about?
That Xbox controller is a weird color, too.
It's like blue. Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
I don't know. All right, where are we going here? This is in News Bytes. We'd like to just drop it in the weird file without comment, but hey, we're News Bytes. What was up with Nintendo VP of Sales and Marketing Peter Main's letter to retailers? You know, the one that simply asked them why they were displaying marketing materials from a company that doesn't even make consoles. No, not Sega, Microsoft. See, the company hasn't made a console yet, so in Nintendo's eyes, apparently, this whole Xbox thing is just an unsubstantiated rumor. It was the kind of letter we'd expect from the old restraint of trade monopolistic Nintendo, not the new competitive Nintendo. Still, we'd love to see a chart correlating allocation of GBA units and Xbox point of purchase displays. That's why Next Generation is the smart gamers magazine. I don't know what they're
pointing out that Nintendo is trying to throw their weight around by saying that Microsoft, you know, is just talking about a console and they don't have.
Why are these in-store displays, you know, advertising for and shilling for Microsoft when their console's not even out?
And can you imagine them getting all up in arms about in-store displays?
No, yeah, like
that is a different console war.
It's still a big deal, though.
Things were fought on the ground then.
End caps and stuff are still super competitive at like Walmart's and.
Another news bite. On the subject of glaringly obvious, you'd think someone at LucasArts could have checked before they titled their Star Wars Starfighter game, which we just talked about, which 3DO is claiming violates its Starfighter trademark.
Cool.
I like that the ad for that appeared three pages before this.
Give me the gavel. And, I'm siding with 3DO.
And you'd think 3DO might drop a letter to a LucasArts lawyer before suing. Come on, 3DO. You're looking a little like Atari with the lawsuits already. Having the Star Wars name associated with Starfighter isn't going to cost you any sales. Trust us.
I like how the last gasp of any of these game companies was just to sue everybody.
Speaking of looking like Atari, specifically like Jaguar circa 1997, the Dreamcast is dying faster than anything. If it doesn't have more canceled titles than titles left coming out for it soon, we'll be surprised. Hmm. It's a shame since it still has the best looking and most fun games of any system.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bold.
Phantasy Star Online is already approaching the highest penetration of a non-launch game among a system's installed base in history. We haven't even seen the expansion yet.
There's no way that that's true.
So June of 2001, the Dreamcast isn't 2 years old yet, but I think so. Sega has already announced it's exiting the hardware.
But what did they say about Phantasy Star?
That it has the highest penetration of a
non-penetration rate
of a non-launch game.
I would believe it. Everybody that had a Dreamcast had PSO.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that console, it was the first to have like a modem built into it. And
here's a report from GDC 2001. You want to know the GDC award winners? The Lifetime Achievement Award went to Will Wright.
Oh.
The Rookie Studio Award was Counter-Strike Team. When did Counter-Strike come out?
A long time ago, apparently.
Original Game Character of the Year was Seaman.
Seaman, like the face fish?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the original Game Character of the Year.
Fish face.
Excellence in Game Design was Deus Ex. Uh-huh. Yeah. Excellence in Level Design was American McGee's Atlas.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Remember that campaign for that
game? Game of the Year was The Sims.
Oh,
well, I stand by that.
That made quite a splash.
It's true. And then we've got GameCube Watch on page 10 from our former very own Matt Casamassina.
Really? He wrote for Next Gen?
Yeah, he's got his photo in there. He has a whole column on GameCube Watch.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
I guess they had him duck in because...
Oh, wait, didn't he already work for IGN by then?
Oh, for sure, yeah, for years.
This is 2001, so yeah.
Yeah.
But... this is still Imagine, so
this is Imagine I see what's going
Games
on.
Network. So they're just using like their own talents.
They're sister publications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he has a whole thing on his E3 predictions, but they're very lengthy. I'm not
Are any of them right?
What, that Nintendo's going to have Luigi's Mansion, Zelda GameCube, Pokemon GameCube?
He knew everything.
Yeah. What was the first Pokemon game on GameCube?
Gale of Darkness.
Wait, did you just say Luigi's Mansion, Zelda, and Pokemon? Because that's just E3 this year too.
That's true.
Whoa,
dude! I tell you, man,
time is a flat circle.
Yeah,
that's really weird.
Here we go. The X-Files. This is the column on Xbox, and the article is called "Japan: No Love Lost on Xbox." I'll just begin it. Watching Microsoft trying to crack the Japanese video games market is like going on safari and watching an amorous rhino trying to seduce a Land Rover. You admire the effort of the former and chuckle at the complete indifference of the latter. And like the rhino and the rover, Microsoft and Japan just don't seem destined for each other, for a lot of reasons.
You just write whatever you want back
You
then,
use that
man.
Metaphor all the time. Is that where you got it from?
You found me out.
Yeah. The rhino Land Rover... Yeah. Making love thing. I always thought that was a Tom Marks original.
No, it's not. It's a big Next Gen guy. When is this? 2001?
Yeah, 2001.
When I was 10.
There's an in memoriam here because the president of Sega had just passed away. I don't remember this name, but he's apparently very significant. Isao Okawa remembered. He dies of heart failure at age 74, and it says, self-made billionaire, wealthiest man in Japan.
Whoa.
The president of Sega was the wealthiest man in Japan. Founder of CSK, long-term savior of Sega, Isao Okawa died of heart failure in a Tokyo hospital March 16th. At the time of his passing, Okawa was chairman and president of Sega. Just weeks before his death, Okawa had made international news when he announced Sega would discontinue the embattled Dreamcast.
Wow.
That's a tough way to go.
I know, man. Like,
what's with the all white next to that? Is that an ad?
It's an ad for something called Pox. It says, hey kids, can you see the three devious, destruction-driven Pox creatures in the picture below? It's an all white picture, and at the bottom it says, and you never will.
Whoa.
Bold. Be prepared, because you won't see it coming. Chicago's been hit. Your city's next. P-O-X.com.
PUX.
Well,
I was going to say, very risky to try to go to that domain today.
Wait, what, it's p-o-x.com.
And then I want to point out this ad for Escape from Monkey Island on PlayStation 2. Obviously, this is 2001. The ad is a play on the original poster for Phantom Menace.
Yep.
With the young Anakin Skywalker leaning up against the house with Darth Vader's shadow. See?
That's really stupid.
And because the game's from LucasArts.
Yeah. So I have some good news and bad news.
Yeah, okay, great.
The good news is that I still have control over my bank account.
Good.
And the bad news is that it just redirected me to Hasbro.
I think it was a Hasbro game.
Yeah.
Through some twist of corporate fate, company got bought and bought and bought until it just rolled up to Hasbro.
Yep. Yeah. If you just search P-O-X, you do bring up the POX Wikipedia entry. It's a handheld game. That's all you need to know.
And then
it's by Hasbro.
There you go.
And then they had a long interview with the new Sega president and COO, Peter Moore. It's a long interview with him, which...
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. No, this is more important.
Okay.
All right. POX was introduced via a viral marketing scheme. Hasbro asked the kids in Chicago schools, playgrounds, skate parks, and video arcades who they thought the coolest kid was until they found the kids who felt they were the coolest, quote, themselves, and then distributed free copies of the game to them.
What?
So what? There's a bunch of marketing execs lurking around arcades.
Who's the cool kid?
Hey.
And then they go up to that kid. So you think you're pretty cool, huh? Yeah, I think I'm pretty cool. Here's a free game. Yeah! Sick!
That was like influencers decades before Instagram.
The original influencers. The cool kids.
In Chicago's cool playgrounds.
In Chicago playgrounds.
We approach kids on the playgrounds, skate parks, and video arcades.
Who's the coolest kid in your class? Whoa, it's got to be Jesse.
Sorry. We just learned something that was so important about this game industry.
Yeah, it gets me thinking.
If you were one of those POX kids, you get in touch with GameScoop, all right?
Yeah.
We want to talk to you.
Were you a POX kid? Were you the coolest kid?
You'll never see him coming.
Maybe that's how we should we can really grow GameScoop. We just got to find the coolest kids, and we'll give them free copies of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, does he age?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, he actually doesn't look that much older today.
20 years ago.
But I want to point out, they have a whole photo shoot with him here. This is something we would never do. Like, we do interviews with executives and stuff, but we don't, set up a whole photo shoot. Here, Peter Moore is, playing chess with Sonic characters.
I note that he does not have a hamburger.
He's not holding a hamburger. Mm-mm. That's why they had to discontinue the Dreamcast.
He's playing chess with the Sonic characters?
Yeah.
He's a footy exec now.
Sega's Next Move is the title of the interview. Couple more things. And the reviews, Black and White is in here. I never played Black and White.
Yeah.
I loved that game when I was
a kid. They gave it a really high score, where 5 stars. They're on a star scoring system here.
All the classy mags were.
But I like how this, I like how the review opens up. Like one of those artsy films the Europeans are always coming up with. Black and White doesn't so much entertain you as impress the hell out of you. You know those artsy films.
Oh my God.
The Europeans are always coming up with.
Suck it, New Wave.
I don't know that you can get away with the phrase the Europeans in 2019.
I just want to point out, look at their grading scale.
So a 5 stars is revolutionary. 4 stars is excellent.
Which you don't give out.
4 stars is excellent. 3 is good. 2 is fair. 1 is bad.
3 stars is good. Yeah. That's a 60 on our scale.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay on
our
scale.
Yeah, but I was literally just talking about this with Dan the other day, that the 10-point system does not translate to the 5-star
system. But did he tell you about the 11th point?
No, he did not. Okay.
Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Finally, in their retro view section right at the back, they go back to the June 1990 issue of Next Gen.
Oh, I like that.
Wait, they're going back?
They're going back.
All right.
So we went back, and then now they're going back.
So we're in 2011. We're in 2019 looking at 2011, and now
we're looking at 2001.
It's 2001, and now we're looking at 1990.
This is 1990 through the eyes of 2001.
A flashback within a flashback.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
I say the industry was on an upswing in 1990. NEC's TurboGrafx-16, which existed in 3 different forms simultaneously in Japan, was doing well.
Was it ever really doing well?
And Sega Genesis was second only to NES in sales. Then came SNK's Neo Geo, a home console that accepted the same giant cartridges as SNK's arcade machines. The stumbling block was the price, $400 for the console and one controller. But the undeniable leader was Nintendo, which would sell over 7 million NES consoles, 60 million NES cartridges, 3 million Game Boys, and 9 million Game Boy carts. Nintendo also kept the legal system in business, suing Codemasters for making the Power Pack, known in the U.S. as the Game Genie.
Yeah.
Nintendo also attempted to outlaw game rentals on a technicality, suing Blockbuster for copyright infringement after the rental franchise photocopied instruction manuals. Nintendo won the lawsuit, but rather than ceasing to offer games for rent, Blockbuster and other rental agencies simply began rewriting the instructions in their own words.
Do you remember those?
Game rentals continued, as they do to this day.
Yeah.
Their own printed game instructions?
Yeah, and third parties got involved, and I find the boxes sometimes, and they have like Captain Code or something, and then it has like the superhero, and then it has like a one sheet on how to play the game. And you find them now in the rental boxes, which are like for NES games, like, you know, a square that was of like clear plastic. And then inside was this like branded set of instructions.
Nintendo was incredibly litigious. And at the time that they were like most beloved by gamers worldwide, they were kind of at their most evil.
That's true.
Like they were suing people constantly.
And they were monopolistic back then,
yeah.
too.
That's true.
Yep, with cartridge manufacture.
Yeah, that's great.
There you go. That was the June 2001 issue of Next Gen. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Andy, the expat from Germany.
Okay.
Let the questioning begin.
Could this game have appeared in this issue of Next Gen that we are looking at?
No.
I don't even know where to go from there.
It just means that it came out after 2001.
Right. Is this game developed by a Western developer?
Yes.
Was this a platform exclusive?
No.
Is this game? No, I don't know. Was this game developed in the United States?
Yes, as far as I know.
Great.
Is this a contemporary game on the contemporary consoles?
Yes.
Okay.
That's five.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good luck omen right there.
Multi-console game that's on current gen.
Mm-hmm. that's not many to pick from then. Narrowed it right down.
Was this,
come on, dude. That narrows down so
no,
much.
No, it does.
Was this well-received, high-scored?
It was pretty well-received.
So yeah. 3 stars out of 5.
I think it's probably Darksiders 3.
It was well-received from IGN.
Rage 2. is this game part of a series?
Yes.
Is this a shooty game?
Yes.
Okay.
Call of Shooty.
there's a little known piece of trivia. It was originally going to be called Call of Shooty, and then they changed their mind at the last minute.
Yep. Well, I have the original box art.
Well received, American developed, current gen, shooty. Part of a series.
Shooty.
Okay. Shooty.
Uh-huh.
Is it like a gritty, like military themed shooter game?
Not gritty.
What? Is it a circusy clowny military shooter game?
So it can't be Overwatch because Overwatch is not part of a franchise.
Yeah.
It could be. What the question I was really trying to get at is it like military or sci-fi? But mm-hmm, I guess I mm-hmm. phrased it in the wrong way.
Well, what shooter series are there?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, Battlefield.
Medal of Honor.
They made the beard one. Sniper games?
Sniper Elite. There's
Is multiplayer online a big focus of this game?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 10.
Okay.
There's your Rainbow Sixes and stuff,
too. Yeah, there's
Rainbow Six. Halo.
Yeah.
Have we mentioned the game yet? Yeah, we could eliminate some of that from sci-fi or military.
You know, there's like Counter-Strike Go.
Well, you know, we could actually read into the hesitance about it being U.S.-based by assuming it's Ubisoft and it being maybe in Canada.
Yeah, there's like thousands of people that worked on that game all over the world.
Could be Rainbow Six. But he said it's not gritty.
Rainbow Six is military but not gritty.
Mm-hmm. No, Rainbow Six is gritty as hell. There's like you know, family members being taken
Damon
hostage by
gritty?
The terrorists, and you have to put the charges on the door and breach the door.
Yeah, but there's also like a person who turns invisible.
Rainbow Six is definitely gritty. The difference between gritty and not gritty is like, can you play as an ape?
One of the people
Are you asking if you can play as an ape?
No.
Does this game have regular content to this day?
Regular, like what?
Are they still, like, updates?
Is this game
are they still adding to this game?
I mean, I couldn't tell you when the last one was. I don't think I can answer that question.
Was it this year?
I seriously doubt if this game received new content this
year. Okay, so it's not any of the super popular games.
It's definitely not Siege.
But it could be like two Call of Duties ago.
Yeah.
Is this game ever considered an esport?
I don't think so.
It's not Counter-Strike. We're looking
at a little bit more obscure of a game.
Probably not Call of Duty either, because they do a lot. They go hard into that stuff.
Yeah, not Call of Duty, not Counter-Strike.
Could this be an indie game?
Yes.
I'm trying to think about how much shooter series is in indie games, though.
Not gritty, though. So I'm thinking there was Void Bastards that came out. There's Borderlands.
Borderlands, maybe. Void Bastards is definitely not a series.
Well, I know, but I'm just trying to think about the type.
It could also be like
You mean Borderlands is not an indie game, not that it's not a series.
It could also be Lovely Planet or whatever the other one is.
What about, like, yeah. There are ones, right? Rite of Rain?
Risk of Rain.
Risk of Rain, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been picturing FPS, but we didn't. Is this a first-person shooter?
No.
Oh, that was my bad. Okay, yeah, that was my bad.
I was assuming third-person.
I'm sorry.
I've been assuming FPS this whole time.
Yeah.
So that opens the door for, like, I mean, I know it doesn't have a sequel, but, like, Gungeon or Nuclear Throne.
Multiplayer
first? Or that's a good point. Or
Division 1.
Division 1, Risk of Rain.
Is this an independent published game?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Gears? No, Gears is pretty gritty.
Yeah.
It's got that Marcus Fenix grit.
Division is pretty gritty, too. Could be Destiny.
No, but Destiny's first person.
Is this take place in the future?
That's unclear, I think.
Whoa.
Why?
I don't have the information for where this game.
So it's definitely not Destiny and Division and a bunch of games we've already mentioned.
No.
Well, Division is kind of weird, right? In like it's modern-ish.
Division's in the future. It's post-apocalyptic. Uh-huh. The apocalypse hasn't happened yet.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair enough, I guess, that argument.
Is David rethinking his answer right now?
Trying to think.
Did the apocalypse happen 3 years ago in that game?
We'll discuss it at the end.
Okay.
Man.
Do you think this game involves loot drops?
Dude, we are doing so well. Now we're flubbing it a little bit, aren't we?
I'm going to give you this one free, but I'm going to say probably, but I don't know for sure. But
let's recap.
That would be an interesting...
U.S. competitive multiplayer?
It's not Overwatch, you know.
Right.
Well, but it's a game that came out for contemporary consoles. It's third person, mm-hmm. focused on shooting. It's multi-platform. It's not, you know, particularly gritty.
It's part of a series.
Part of a series.
Made in the U.S.
Yeah, made in the United States.
Or just be like Battlefront?
Yeah.
No, but Battlefront's, U.S. of future, and technically Star Wars is a long, long time ago.
Battlefront was a long, long time ago.
Although I would have known that.
I hope the end twist of Star Wars is the same as Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. They land on Earth.
Spoilers. Sorry.
Let's get some questions going.
We're super trying.
Yeah.
It's hard. You
made it hard, Damon.
Yeah.
The expat made it difficult.
Third person shooty. I mean, there is Risk of Rain 1 and 2.
Can you play as a woman?
You can play as female.
Oh no!
That's 15.
Do you play as an animal? Wait, so there's Towerfall. But a female what? Is it an animal or an alien? It's one or the other.
What is happening?
Is this like a? No, I was trying to think. Maybe it's even like Bullet.
We already had Battleborn.
Yeah. Shit. We were doing so good.
Battleborn's not part of a series, though.
When we had like so many clues in like question 4, I thought we were sailing.
Yeah, I forgot.
Are there robots?
No, we don't like the five questions music.
Boss fight
like
music.
I'm floundering here. I am. I'm with you. Because it's not Borderlands either.
Nope. Female. Do you play as an alien in this game? Can you play as an alien in this game?
No.
So it's a female animal of some kind.
Shooties?
Or robot.
Series?
No, and it's not indie, is it? Because I was going to say like Cave Story or something, but it's not indie.
Yeah, but well, you're
it's
not, also...
And it's multiplayer online focused with loot boxes, probably.
You're mostly a boy robot in that game.
Don't forget the hack.
Have we mentioned this game already?
No.
Shit.
That is a good trick. Three questions?
Two questions and a guess.
Oh, that's yeah. just like, it's such a, I mean, I know you're helping us out, but it's always such a punch in the gut.
I feel like that's a huge hint, though.
The worst
thing
is
that you can wipe everything you've mentioned off the table and think of what you have.
Tom probably reviewed this game. Is this... What if it's like a game like Evolve, so it's like you can play as a lady monster, or Left 4 Dead?
Wait.
Left 4 Dead's?
Both of those are first person.
Did IGN review this game?
Yes.
Did we already know that?
No, yeah, I don't. We did. Yeah, we did already know that, because he said that IGN reviewed it well.
Oh, fuck, I'm sorry.
Great.
Hold on. Well... I'll take that one back.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'll just pretend I didn't see anything. You didn't see anything.
But you're doing it wrong. You need to put your finger up.
Why? No, it's up when we've...
He took the question back. He did us a solid.
I know, but you're saying... Okay, it's your down fingers that we have left. Okay.
These are the ones you have left. Yeah. Right.
I know, I got it. I'm with you.
Yeah, okay. Don't.
Can we hear the boss music?
There you go. All right, two questions and a guess.
So...
For a shooting game...
What are the types of... We asked if it had. Did you ask the animal question?
I asked an alien question.
Aliens.
He says, "I said, do you play as a woman?" And he said, "You play as a female." Yeah. So you're either playing as a lady robot or a lady animal, and not a lady alien.
What else can hold a gun, right? Oh, what about if it's just vehicles?
Yeah, it could be like the Twisted Metal reboot.
Oh boy,
is that on modern systems?
No one knows. No, I think that was PS3.
Would driving vehicles help us with this game at all?
It's multiplayer focused. Damon wasn't sure it had loot boxes, but probably
space shooties,
some kind of loot box.
Oh no, because that would be in the future.
Garbage in it of some kind. Yeah, it's not an unknown what time period it's in.
Could it be Crackdown?
Yeah,
you don't play. You play as a man though, don't you?
But in the third one, don't they have genders? You can change. Yeah, you can change characters in the third one.
But it's multi-platform.
But they're humans.
And that might be in the future, but I don't know. I think that might.
But no, sorry. Platform exclusive.
It's not a platform exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Crackdown is on PC.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's still Xbox exclusive. I don't know how you count that.
I'm just glad we cut out all Japanese games. Yeah. It's just that's the thing that's making me happy right now.
I, for one, give up. I don't know what the game is. Man, I don't know.
We got two questions and a guess.
I guess we're not going to get it. So should we ask about like game company that published it and try to get lucky there or license? Was this based on a license?
Yeah.
That would throw things
This generation is just getting so long. Like it's helpful me like if it's like launch era or if it's like pretty current.
What about the Friday the 13th style games? Is this a licensed game?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we're definitely not going to get it.
All right.
Part of a franchise. What the heck, man?
Could we ask if it came out in like the last year or so or something like that?
Is it played?
But it didn't even get an update in the last year.
Yeah, so it probably didn't.
It's got
is it helpful
boxes.
To know if it's
no,
played
but maybe
from like
what if it's Bigfoot?
It could be played from like a 2D side-scrolling perspective. Like, I don't know if it's top-down. I don't know if it's side-scrolling.
Does this have 3D graphics?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Great.
There we go.
All right.
It could be Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was man, that's a deep cut.
Wasn't that an Xbox exclusive, though, or is it multi-platform?
No, Garden Warfare, it would be Garden Warfare 2, wouldn't it?
Why?
Because
it's a
Garden
part
Warfare
of a
1
series.
Older?
And it's for this gen.
Yeah, I thought Garden Warfare 1 came out on the last gen, but I might be wrong.
Maybe they both did.
I think they're only on Xbox to begin with. Or maybe their marketing is just associated with Xbox. Is it Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare?
Is that your final guess?
Say two. Say two. Add two.
Yeah, it's definitely two.
Two. I don't know. If it's one of these two games, I want to win. I want it to count. Come on, man.
What was your guess?
You son of a bitch. Don't do this to me.
Let me make sure. I thought I heard Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. Yeah, is that what you heard?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. Between that and Call of Duty, this is a good one.
You can play as a female plant.
Yeah.
That's
man.
So stupid.
Justin, you came up with that when we were out of guesses.
We're like 320 questions now.
That's amazing.
Each person's had one.
No, knowing it was 3D was actually hugely helpful because I was I was still thinking about like top-down games and like side-scrolling games.
Yeah.
Plus,
2016.
Developed not an animal, not a robot. We never even thought a plant.
Nope.
Developed by PopCap. I assume that's in the U.S. I'm not wasn't sure if that was in Canada.
Hey, if we asked if you could play as a woman and it was a robot, would you say the woman robot counted?
It has to depend if they're like
robots can present male, female.
No, I'm like asking if he would answer.
Okay.
It.
Is it like a Terminator that's built to look like a woman, or is it just like a like if you're talking about Steamroll Dig 2, I wouldn't call that a woman. Call it like.
But
female.
There's clearly like I disagree with you. Like Steamroll Dig, in one of them you play as a boy robot, and in one of them you play as a girl robot.
Yeah, but it's not a woman though. I don't know. I'm just trying. I'm not trying to mislead anyone. Mm-hmm, just trying to. Like,
yeah.
PopCap based in Seattle, by the way.
Seattle. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2016 is when that game was out.
We did it. I feel like we owe Damon also a debt of gratitude on that one.
Were you surprised that we got it?
I was so surprised that you guys got it without any help.
All right. So we can't even claim the victory because no, Damon doesn't think we won.
I absolutely claim the victory.
I want everyone to have fun.
We played the victory music and everything.
Yeah, the victory music played, so clearly it got logged. Thank you for the suggestion. Andy, the expat from Germany. If our listeners and viewers have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to me at gamescoop@ign.com. We will see you at on our IGN live coverage from E3. Once again, we kick off at noon Pacific this Sunday, and we'll be live pretty much all week. So you can tune in and check out all the conferences and all the big games in the show. Please be excited. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop, and we're out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.